So we're holding on Kof Vav Amadeus, about the middle of the wide line. The line begins Midas. We're dealing with various cases involving Toy and Tynus Gana. We know that we have a case where Shomer claims that the item that he's watching was stolen from him. In the case of a Shomer Chinam, it would be a regular ganav. In the case of a Shomer Socher, it would be that it was gzela, that it was a gazlan, and therefore it was an onus, whatever. And he claims that, and then so. Now the Torah describes that if he claims that, and it turns out that he and then he takes a shavua, and it turns out that he himself is the ganav, then he pays tashlumei kapel. So we were dealing with before the question whether he also pays tashlumei arba'a b'chamisha if he shechted it or stole it. And so now continuing, sheep four times for a sheep, five times for an ox. Yeah. So now the Gemara is going to talk more about this topic of toyin tainus ganav. So v'amar Rav Chiba abba amar Rav Yechon hatoyin tainus ganav ba'aveda. Now, suppose he wasn't a regular shomer. Suppose that he found a lost object, and he has a mitzvah to hold on to it until the person shows up and claims it. Meanwhile, we had a machloikas earlier in the Masechta in Perek HaKoinis, whether he's considered a shomer chinam or a shomer socher. We had a machloikas Rabba and Rav Yosef on that point. On the one hand, he's a shomer chinam because he's not getting paid for it. On the other hand, we said he could be a shomer socher because of the famous idea of Pruta de Rav Yosef. Now, during the time when he's busy taking care of the Aveda, then he's potter from giving, if a poor person comes to his door just then he's potter from giving him tzedakah. And similarly, there can be other things that he's potter from while he's taking care of the Aveda, and in that sense, that he has a schar from that. Anyway, the point is, so now he found an Aveda, and now later on, he claims that it was stolen from him. Again, regular theft, if we say he's a shomer chinam, and listed mizuya, and an armed robber, if we say that he was, which is a gazlan, if he's a shomer socher. Anyway, so then he swore, and so he swore as he usually would, and then later on, Adam come that he himself stole it. Mishalom tashlumei kefil, then he will pay tashlumei kefil, just like tashlumei means payment of double. Yeah. Just like a regular shomer, just like we talked before about a regular shomer who does where the pasuk says so, and we were discussing whether he also pays arba'a b'chamisha. So in the same vein here, where he's watching an aveda, then the same rule would apply. My timer, why is that? Because the pasuk says dichtiv. Because the pasuk says al kol aveda asher yomar, any lost thing that he says ki huzei yishalom shnayim l'ra'ehu. So we see that the pasuk is saying that the same thing applies to aveda as well. Meaning, in other words, in a simple sense, you would say that al kol aveda means that he's claiming that it was never, that he's claiming that it was lost from him after he was watching it. He's shomer chinam, he's potter for gneiv aveda, and now he's claiming that it was lost. But Rabbi Chiya Abba is also explaining that the word al kol aveda also means that the same din applies if to begin with he's watching it because it was an aveda. So we're saying, in other words, it started as an aveda. He found it. He found this lost animal or lost object or whatever. He's holding on to it. Now, later on, when the owner finds him and says, so where's my animal or where's my whatever? He says that it was stolen. Now, later on, Adam come and say that he kept it for himself. So now we're saying he would. So now Rabbi Abba is telling us that he would pay tashlumei kefil. So the Gemara says, a spirit of Abba Memel or Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba Memel asks a question based on a braisa. Now the pasuk says when it introduces the concept of shomrim, it says kiyitin ish. When a man gives. Now obviously it doesn't mean just a man; it means a woman as well. The Torah is generally written in lashon zachar, but the point is that the fact that it says before that says ish, we learn from that ein nesinas cotton klum. When a cotton gives, doesn't count for anything because it has to be an ish. So in other words, if a cotton gave somebody to an item to watch. As a pikodin, and then it got lost or stolen or whatever. Whatever kind of taina the cotton would make is not something where he would ever pay kefil on it. Now Rashi actually learns that it means that he wouldn't even have to swear on the claim of that. Rashi says, and therefore you're never going to come to kefil because by definition a shomer comes to kefil only when he swore. However, the Rambam actually learns that you would swear on it, you just wouldn't pay kefil. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua explains just that. But the Rambam learns that only the miut is only that he doesn't pay kefil, but nevertheless he would still have to swear. Different noisa kalim of the Rambam also deal with exactly how the Rambam is going to learn our Gemara. In any case, the point is the braisa continues. The only Elon Nosnik true cotton, the Tovik true cotton. Now, so far you would know that that din only applies when the cotton gave it to him, and then he claimed it from him when he was still a cotton. So now an 11-year-old boy comes to him and gives him a picotin, and a year passes. He comes back when he's 12, And he asks, where's my Picard? And the guy says it was lost, it was stolen, or what have you. And now it turns stolen. And now it turns out that he himself took it. So we're saying that according to Rashi, he wouldn't be swearing at all. And according to the Rambam, he'd be swearing. But if it turns out that if he stole it, he wouldn't pay the kafel. Anyway, you would only know that. Wait. How do we know the same din would apply if he gave it to him as a cotton, and then by the time he came to ask for it, by the time he brings him to Beis Din, he's already a gadol? How do we know the same din applies that he's also potter? Talmud Lomar, the Shomer is potter. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, Ad ha'lekim yoved dvar shneihem. The pasuk says that the matter of the two of them should come to Elikim, meaning Dayoni. And that means, when it says shneihem, it means it's making a hekesh between them. It has to be that the giving and the tviya are both in the same situation. Now, obviously, the shomer himself has to be a gadol. If you give something to a cotton to watch, then it's nothing. Wait, one second. Hold on. The way Rashi learns is that since it says Yavrid Dvar Shnehim, it means that we're making a hekesh. Rashi learns the hekesh is between the giving and the hamodah badin. Both of them have to be in the same circumstance, namely that he's a gadol. So it can't be that the nesina was done when he was a child and the tviya is done when he's being a gadol. The Ravid actually learns differently, that the hekesh is in the word shnehem. That was saying the hekesh is between the mafkid and the nifkad, between the mafkid and the shomer. Now, by definition, the shomer is going to be a gadol. If you give something to a cotton to watch, don't be surprised if it goes lost or whatever. A cotton is not a bendas. So therefore, we learn from that. The Ravid learns the hekesh is the same way. The mafkid, the owner of the item, also has to be a gadol at the time when he gives it to him.
Didn't you say that over
9 years old is not a gadol? Over 9 years old is a gadol, is not really a gadol. He's considered. Certain purposes for bia. His bia is considered bia. For dinim mominus to a certain limited extent. Hapautas mekachan mekachom mekaran mimkor b'mataltlin. They're able to buy and sell, and they're buying and selling is considered valid in halacha. But generally speaking, no. A child doesn't have das until he's 13. Yeah.
And one day.
Okay. And one day means full 13 years. It means not in his 13th year, but it means 13 full years, mass less. The night of the Bar Mitzvah is already the beginning, is already the news, already a new day. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's the Braisa. Now, sort of Abba Bar Memel says, V'im Issa, if you're gonna tell me, Rabbi Yochanan, that in the case of a Shomer Aveda, he's gonna be chayav kefil to heavy Nami Kaveda. After all, so let's say a cotton was mafkid by him. Why should it be any less of a chiyuv than an aveda? When you think about it, how does an aveda come to him? Nobody gave it to him either. There's no ben das who gave him the item that you could say that now he has a responsibility, and yet he does. So then in that case, why, if a cotton gave it to him, should there be any less of a responsibility for that? Omalei, so the Priva Abba answers him, hachab mayaskinen guncha ochle true cotton. We're talking about where the shomer actually ate the animal or used up the thing or whatever while the mafkid was still a cotton. So therefore, in other words, it never came to a situation of taina in the first place. Now, the difference is, in other words, the point is, Rashi says, an aveda, on the other hand, the fact is, an aveda has an owner. And from when he finds it, he has a chiyuv on it. He doesn't know yet who the person is, but eventually that person is going to come, and that person presumably is a gadol. So therefore, there's more reason to say by an aveda that we should be mechayev him for the shvua and eventually for the kefil than with a cotton, where we can talk about there's a case where the entire story happened when the guy was still a cotton, and now you want to talk about, fine, the braisa is mentioning he's tevea when he's a gadol. Namely, you can have that he gave him the animal while he was a cotton, while he was still a cotton, the guy went and ate it. And now that the mafkid is a gadol, now he wants to go and sue him for it. And the braisa says he's still potter. But in another way, Rabbi Chiya Abba is saying, as opposed to, for example, if he still had the item in his possession when the mafkid had become a gadol, that might be different. The braisa might not be addressing that point. So that's sort of Abba Bar Memel continues. Avol true gadol mai. So you're going to tell me what? If he eats the thing when he's a gadol, then what? You're going to say hochinami de mashalim. Then you're going to say indeed he should have to pay kefil.
Why not?
Well, sure. Because the braisa seems to be saying, well, one second. Ihochi, if so, ad tana ad shtehe nesina utmina utviya shavim kachod. Then why is the braisa phrasing it that the nesina, the giving of the item to watch, and the tviya, the suing him in Beis Din have to be both on the same, both have to be on the same level, meaning, in other words, that he's chayev kefil only if he gave it to him as gadol, based on your logic that you're saying there could be a case he gave it to him as cotton, and he's still chayev the shvua, and he's still chayev the kefil, the Braisa should have said so. Listening agite achilo tvia shoven ke'echon. The Braisa shouldn't have said nisino tvina, it should have said achilo tvia, as long as the eating and the tvia both take place when the child has now become a gadol. Because according to you, that's how it would work. Amalei said, "Apiyah Abba answers fine. Tony Achte Achilo Tviya Shavin Keachod. Fine, you can learn that way in the Braisa. You can learn that the Braisa, when it says Nisino Tviya, it really meant it really meant Achilo Tviya. Because then the point is, in other words, that so then a sinner can be when he's a child, because Rabbi Abba is saying you're right. There's it's no less a chiyuv than an aveda where there was no ben das who gave it to him in the first place. So fine, a cotton gives him an item. The cotton doesn't have das. Nevertheless, though, we can still say that it's no worse than an aveda. It was a gadol to watch. Yeah. But the point is Rabbi Abba Bar Memel was pointing out, why should aveda be any less than the giving of a cotton? And Rabbi Abba Bar Memel was saying,
does the market have to be a gadol?
That's what we're trying to figure out. That's what we're trying to figure out. Rabbi Chiya Abba had said a din that if you're watching an aveda, then you're chayav kefil if it turns out that you took it. Now, Rabbi Abba Bar Memel is asking, based on this braisa, where we see that you always potter if a cotton gave it. So why should an aveda be any less than a cotton? Right. So now Rabbi Chiya Abba is telling him that's in fact how it is. When the cotton gave it to him as a cotton, but then by the time he ate it, he was already a gadol. Then already you have, in other words, at the time that the boy became a gadol, the item still it was already in a state where he could be teveya it, because it's already in a state where he could, as a gadol, come back and say, where's my pikadon? And that would be a valid claim, and Beis Din would have to address it. So now, therefore, if afterwards he eats it, and now, still after that, the former cotton, now gadol, comes and says, where's my pikadon? Then we would say he has to pay. The Braisa didn't say that. So fine, the Braisa, we could change the wording of the Braisa a little bit. Rav Ashi says you don't have to change the wording of the Braisa. Loi Domi, it's really not the same thing. The difference is aveda ka'asi mekoyach ben das. The difference is with an aveda, fine, it's true a ben das didn't give it to him, but it comes from the koyach of a ben das, in the sense who lost the thing in the first place was an adult, a ben das. So therefore, so it's true he wasn't actually mafkid it, but it belongs to a gadol. So therefore, the Torah can say that you chayev shvua and chayev kefil. As opposed to the pikodin, didn't come from the koyach of a ben das in the first place. It was a cotton who gave it to him, and therefore, the Ravid points out a svara in it. It's one thing when you have an aveda, so we're saying it comes from a ben das. So fine, you can have the obligation that a ben das would have, namely to swear on it and eventually to pay for it. On the other hand, a cotton doesn't have if the cotton himself, when he has the thing in his possession, before he gives it to any shomer, he himself doesn't have the das to watch it. So therefore, you can't say that there should be a greater chiyuv imposed on the shomer than there would be on the cotton himself. If the cotton himself doesn't have the das to watch something, then we can't say that a shomer who's watching it for him should have a greater chiyuv to the extent that he should have to swear, and to the extent that he should be chayiv kefil, or according to the Rambam, at least, that he should just be chayiv kefil. We can't say that. So that's the Ravid points out that swara in within what Rav Ashi is saying. So wait. So hold on. Ask me koyach ben das. So the case of the cotton, it comes only from the koyach of a cotton. So therefore, yes, we can still leave the braisa as it was. And in fact, even if he had eaten it when the child was still a cotton, and therefore even when he was a gadol, no, the very fact that it was given to him when he was a cotton is enough to patter him forever, even though, as the braisa had said, even though later on the cotton is a gadol, and now he comes to, because he was a cotton when he was mafked by him, right? Tosfos also points out, it comes out also, appointed of Ashi, we would say that even if the cotton still exists right now, then he still can't be mashbiah him. According to the first answer, according to Chiyuv Abba's own answer, if the cotton itself still exists, he could be mashbiah him now that he's a gadol. And again, according to the Rambam, he could be mashbiah him either way. It's just that kefil, he won't be chayim. But yeah.
It's swearing.
But the swear, the Rambam learns that swearing, even when he was mafked as a cotton, he can make him swear. Yeah.
What does it mean when he says, in your he's not able to swear?
I can't make him swear. Yeah.
Okay. Then we say just one more thing. That if someone gets caught or something, he has an option to swear or to pay.
Sometime you have minat torah. There are three cases of shvur where a person swears and he's potter: a shomer, a moedib mitzvah, which we're now going to talk about in the Gemara in a minute, and the third one is one there's one aid against him. Those are the three cases minat torah where a person swears, and in all those three cases, the swearing patters him. The option is to pay. Every other case where a person swears, meaning there are other cases where a person swears and he's potter. There's cases where a person swears and collects. All of those are midirabon. Continues the Gemara. Here's another din. We talked about Toyin Tainas Ganav as far as a Pikodin. Then we talked about an Aveda. And now we're going to talk back about a Pikodin again. So again, Reuven had taken something and deposited it with Shimon for safekeeping while he's out of town or whatever. Shimon now claims that a Ganav came and stole it. Again, if Shimon is a Shem Chinam, it can mean a regular Ganav. If it's a Shem Sacher, it would mean a Gazlan, whatever. So now he'd be potter if he swears on that. So Einai Chayev, he would not be chayev to swear. Actually, you have two different opinions among the Rishonim, again, whether we're talking about the swearing or whether we're talking about the kefil. The Rosh learns that we're talking about both, that you can't make him swear unless the condition that Rabbi Abba is going to say now, whereas the Tosfos Reed learns swearing, you can make him swear either way, but to collect on the kefil, if it turns out that he stole it, would only be under the conditions that we're going to say. Anyway, only if he denies part of the claim and admits part of the claim. Only if he's a moedib b'mitzas. So Rabbi Abba is saying, in other words, that again. So he was mafgid, for example. Let's not talk about an animal, because an animal you can't really talk about part or the whole thing. Let's say he was mafgid $100 by him. So now let's say he comes back to collect it, and the guy says, for example, he can say that he's saying that I'm potter from some of you, saying that a Ganav came and stole 50 of it, and therefore I'm potter, but the other 50, I agree, I'm chayav. So then Rabbi Abba says that is the only case where he would have to swear and where he would eventually be chayav kefil. My time, because the Pasuk says, ki hu zeh. The Pasuk says, again, by a shomer, the Pasuk says that they come to Beis Din, and the Pasuk says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, about anything that a person might have been careless about, Shur, Hamor, Seh, Salma, Asher, anything, Asher, Yoma, Ki, Hu, Zeh, anything that he says, this is it. Now, that is the case of Moedim Mitzas, because in other words, this is it, means in other words, that the Teveya, the one who's taking him to Beis Din, the claimant, is saying, this is the amount that you owe me, and the other one is saying, no, I owe less than that. The whole concept of Moedim Mitzas, we learn from those words of Ki, Hu, Zeh. And since that's talking about in connection with a shomer, then therefore, Rabbi Chiya Abba says that by a shomer also, you have to have moedib mitzvahs in order for him to be chayim. However, the Gemara points out, pliga de Rabbi Chiya Abba Yosef. Now, this understanding of Rabbi Chiya Abba Abba's, that the moedib mitzvahs refers to the shomer specifically, is disagreeing with Rabbi Chiya Abba Yosef. Da'am Rabbi Chiya Abba Yosef, Eruv Parshias Kosuv Kan. There's a mixture of Parshias written here. There's words in the Pasuk here in connection with a Shomer which actually belong someplace else, namely by a Malvin. Here we have the dinim of a Shomer are near the beginning of Perek Chof Beis in Mishpatim. Towards the end of that Perek, you have the Psukim of Im Kesef Talves Ami. If you lend a Yid, then you have the dinim not to take ribis from him, and then dinim about if you take a security from him or whatever. So the Chiya Bar Yosef explains that also the words Ki Hu Zeh belong over there. They were mixed into this parasha of the Shomer. The words Ki Hu Zeh refer to a Malva. Now, according to Rashi, it comes out, in other words, what Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef is saying is that by a pikodon, you don't have this concept, bichlal, even if he's kofer in the entire pikodon, then he would still be chayev to swear. Now, Tosfos has a lot of questions on that. There are a lot of Mishnayos and various Gemaras all over Shas that imply that not like that. If he's kofer on the whole thing, then he is potter from a shavua. So Tosfos ends up giving a couple of different answers, which we'll discuss in a second. This is a very long Tosfos over here. It's funny, we have a very long Tosfos over here, and afterwards you have one of the shortest Tosfos, Chazaka Inon Amei, Zakol Mefodesh Bakam Mekomis. So it's very, very, very interesting juxtaposition over here of the long versus the short Tosfos. But anyway, yeah. The point is that, so again, Rashi explains that what Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef is saying when he says Eruv Parshias Kosuv Kan, he means the words Ki Hu Zeh B'chlal do not belong by a Pikodin, they belong exclusively by a Milvah. However, that's what I'm saying. Tosfos points out a lot of questions on that, because we have many Mishnayos and many Gemaras that show, not like that, that when a person is kofer hakol on a pikkudin, then daraisa he's not swearing. Certain times derabbanan he's swearing, but not daraisa. Now, the Pnei Yeshua to end for Rashi says Rashi would distinguish between different kinds of kofer hakol. There's a difference whether he says kofer hakol, as in you were never mafkid by me in the first place, versus where he's saying that the entire thing was stolen, for example. And Rashi might be drawing a distinction between the Pnei Yeshua talks about in that in some detail. That Rashi might make that distinction. He says an interesting lashon. He says, how could you possibly think? I mean, Rashi knows the entire Shas good and well. He knows very well all those Mishnayos and Brises. He passed away, he's writing this production. He's still new, yeah. So the Pnei Yeshua points out it's very difficult to say Cholila. He says Cholila loymar shenelam kol zemirashi asha'inim shotetas bakol bepirushim. Rashi is familiar with the whole Shas when he's writing his Pirushim. He's always quoting from other Gemaras that illuminate our Gemara. How could we possibly understand that? How could we possibly think that Rashi didn't know or forgot all of those Mishnayos and things that Tosfos is mentioning? And also B'chlal, he says that Rashi goes on to say further that there's a difference between a milva and a pikkudin. Because Picardin, he didn't do him a favor, and a milva he did. Still, what gives us the right to come up with a shvur d'oraisa of our own svara? And he goes on barichos, and he explains briefly. He explains in brief to give the gist of what he says. He says that that Rashi would understand that we're talking about two different kinds of kofa hakol. There can be, in other words, where he's claiming kofa hakol. He's saying the whole thing was an onus, as opposed to we said before, for example, where he says half of it was an onus and the other half, fine, I agree to pay. As opposed to that's the kind where Rashi is saying Rabbi Bar Yosef would say that the whole concept of moedim mikzas applies only by a pikkudin and not by a milva, whereas Reb Chiya Ba'Ava would say that it applies to both of them. And therefore they're disagreeing. Whereas opposed to when we have a kofer hakol where he claims you never deposited it with me in the first place, that's a whole nother. Anyway, Tosfos doesn't make that distinction. Tosfos brings a couple of other explanations. First, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that when Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef is saying ki hu zeh al milva hu dechtiv, he doesn't mean exclusively by a milva. He means also by a milva. He means that the concept of ki hu zeh, the concept of modem mixas, applies by a pikkudin as well as by a milva. That's how Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef would learn it. So what he would say is like this, rather. He explains that everybody agrees, including Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, that the words ki hu zeh refer to a pikkudin, and that by pikkudin you only have a shvur when there's moedim mitzvah. So they're not disagreeing on that. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef both agree to that. The machlokas would be as far as the kfira, what exactly does he need to be denying according to the Priya Ba'aba in the name of Rabbi Yechanan? It has to be that he's actually denying a slightly similar distinction to the way the Pnei Yeshua says in Rashi, that there would be a difference whether he's kofer saying that you never lent it to me or you never mafked it to me, or versus where he's saying I'm potter because the whole thing was nanas. So Rabbeinu Tam learns along those lines that Priya Ba'aba and Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef would be disagreeing about that point. So when he says Eruv Parshi is Kosev Kan, and when it says Ki Hozeh Al Malva Hu Dechtiv, he doesn't mean it's exclusively on a Malva. He means there is an aspect of it that applies to a Pekodin as well, but there's a different aspect of it that applies only to a Milva. Then you have, then Tosfos brings various other questions on that, on Rabbeinu Tam's answer, and ends up giving another answer from the Riva, which says that when Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says Ki Hozeh Al Malva Hu Dechtiv, he means, therefore, that because of that, so when it comes to a shomer, we're only going to say, only when he's moedim mitzas, not when he's kofer hakol. That's a point of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef is saying that, no, if the shomer is claiming a tainas p'tur, if he's saying I'm potter on the whole thing, then he's chayav shvur. But if he were to say that you were never mafkid it in the first place, or you returned it already, then he would not be chayav shvur. So Eruv Parshias, Kosev Kan, according to the Riva, would mean, both of them, we say ki hu zeh, but we're saying that you need moedim mitzas only when it's a taina that's relevant to both of them. Now, when you think about it, by ava, a taina of onus is not going to work. What do you mean? I lent you money. I don't care that there was an onus. I want my money back. And that would be a valid taina. Whereas if I pikkudin, then not. That's what Rabbi Abba Yosef would be meaning when he says Eruv Parshias Kosav Kan. He would mean when you come to a taina that is relevant to both a shomer and a malva, namely a taina of lahadam, a taina of you never lent me or you never mafked me in the first place, or a taina of I returned it, which is a valid taina by both of them, then we would say that only when he's kofer, only when he's moedim mitzas is he chayav shvur. But when you come to a taina of nanasti, which is relevant only to a pekodin and not to a milva, that would be where you have the machlokas of Rabbi Abba Abba versus Rabbi Abba Yosef, whether it applies in that case, whether it applies by pekodin as well or only by a milva. So there's three different explanations of what we mean by these words, Eruv Parshias Kosav Kan. So the Gemara asks, to Maishna Milva, in that case, then what's the difference then by a Milva, where we're saying that you need Moedim Amitzas, versus, now what we mean by Maishna Milva, so again, according to Rashi, the question is, what forces us to say that we should take these words from the pasuk and apply them to a different pasuk? Why should we? What's the logic to do that?
You seem to try to make a hekesh.
No, not a matter of hekesh. The point of Rashi was saying that we're actually taking the words ki huzeh and remove as if we're removing them from here and placing them in a different context. 17 or 18 psukim later. What forces us to say that? That's according to Rashi, is the question why we're doing that. According to the various explanations in Tosfos, then you would have other explanations of what the Gemara means with this question. One of them being, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the question would be, why indeed is the Torah being mechayev only a modi b'miktas and not a kofer hakol, and why only by a milva? And the reason is kiddi Rabba, based on what Rabba says. Do'omer Rabba, mipnei ma omra Torah modu mitzas etayni yeshova. Why indeed does the Torah tell us that a modu mitzas has to swear? And again, you have a number of different answers. You have a number of different explanations. This is where Tosva says, chazaka ina nemez hakol mefurash b'kama mekoymes, because you have other gemaras in Bava Metzia and in other places that discuss this point of modu mitzas versus kofer hakol. And each of those places, this statement that Rabba is going to say over you, mipnei ma omra Torah modu mitzvahs, a tiny yeshava, you have it in, according to Masoras HaShas, you have it in five other places, you have it in six other places in Shas. One, two, three, four, five other places in Shas. The statement of Rabbah, name Al Matam, but it's a tiny yeshava. Besides all Gemara here in Bava Kama, you have in five other places in Shas. And in many of those places, Rashi and Tosfos and other Mephoshim deal with exactly what Rabbah means to say. When we say ma omatono murder mitzatani shava, it can mean, in other words, why should he have to swear? Why it should, it could mean why indeed is only a modem mitzah swearing and not a kofer hackle? You would think if a modem mitzah has to swear, how much more so a kofer hackle should have to swear? Another way of looking at it, Tosfos explains elsewhere, is why doesn't he have a migui? Why don't we say he could have said I'm potter from the whole thing, and instead he's saying I admit that I owe half of it. So why don't we give him a migui and say therefore that he should be potter from swearing?
Go,
no, a migur would mean that he shouldn't have to swear.
Oh,
so that's what he would say. He could have claimed that I'm potter from the whole thing, and he wouldn't have to swear. So now that he also has a migur, we should say he's potter from swearing. So there's a lot of different explanations. Another point. So there's a lot of different explanations. Why is the Torah saying that a modem mitzvah has to swear and not a kofar hakol? Why don't we say Rashi elsewhere explains that the question is, the question is, we have a concept that the Gemara mentions in Gittin, hamotzim etzia lo yishava metikuna olam. If a person finds a lost object, and now you could have, let's say he finds $100, and then the other guy comes in to claim it, and he says, actually, I lost 200. So you kept half of it for yourself. We're not going to make the one who found, we're not going to make...
$100.
He found $100. Okay. The other guy comes to claim it, and he says, actually, I lost 200. So now you should have to swear because you're moedim mitzvahs. We say he does not mipnei tikkun olam, because the chachamim figured then it'll discourage people from wanting to return lost things at all. They'll just say I keep it for myself, and who's going to know better? Who's going to know any better? I've mentioned before, by the way, in this shir, a story involving Rabbi Chaim, the Rabbi Chaim Meisel, the Rav of Lodz, about 100 years ago, where 140 years ago or so, where he had exactly such a case once happened. B'kitzur, there was a poritz that lost some money, and he put out notices saying that anybody who finds the money will get a reward. So a yid finds the money, a yid finds the purse, figures he'll get the reward. He goes to the poritz claimed that there was more money in there than the yid had found, and he takes him to court. Kitzur Meisel.
That was all part of.
And that's exactly the same point that Rashi is saying. So, B'kitzur HaMaisa, Rabbi Chaim advised the lawyer, to tell make this pirate swear in court that to the amount that he claims, and then you argue to the court like this, basically. Look, on the one hand, I mean, the pirate swore, we have to take him at his word, he's an honorable man. On the other hand, we have to consider, you know, this Yid could have kept the money for himself. Why is he bothering returning it? So obviously he must have found a different purse than the pirate's loss, and therefore he should be able to keep all of it for himself. So and the judge realized that yeah, it's a valid point. So getting back to here, in other words, so yeah, so Rashi explains that Rabba's question, isn't he a Meshav Aveda? He could have said, I don't owe anything. Instead, he's saying, I do owe you half. So why shouldn't we take him at his word that he owes only the half? Why should we make him swear? And again, you have Tosfos learns the question is, why doesn't he have a migui? And the Ramban learns that the question is, why indeed is the Torah not also Machayev a Kofar Hakol? So there's a number of different ways of learning Rabba's question. Anyway, the reason is, Chazaka ain't on a maize ponov of Nebal Choyv. We have a chazaka that a person is not going to be so brazen as to deny something that where the other person lent him money. Now, Rashi explains he's not going to deny it because the guy did him a favor. He lent him money. So now the Torah knows psychologically a normal person is not going to have the chutzpah to go to the face of somebody who lent him money and say, you didn't lend me or whatever, or that I don't owe you b'chlal. So therefore, so as he's going to go on to say that he's trying to stall for time. Now, again, Tosfos, wait, one part of this long Tosfos over here is dealing with the question, why? We find in other cases as well. The fact is, we do find that the concept of Kofar Hakol and Modim Mitzvahs applies not just to a milveh. Again, according to the two explanations in Tosfos, it does apply to a certain extent to a milveh as well. And the fact is, and the fact is, we do see that, on the other hand, according to Abba, it applies to a Pekodin as well, even though Pekodin, the Mafka didn't do him any favor, so why shouldn't he be Meiz? So rather, Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations, including that it means that when he knows that the guy, he knows that he's lying to the other guy's face, he's not going to have the chutzpah to do that. So really he would have wanted to deny the whole thing. But he doesn't, because again, he doesn't have the chutzpah to do that. And the Torah knows that psychologically. On the other hand, really he would want to be moida to the whole thing. So why indeed is he denying half of it? Because he thinks to himself, if I am moida on the entire thing, then he's going to right away come and then schlep me to Beis Din and make me pay the whole thing, and I can't afford it right now. So therefore he figures, let me evade him right now. I'm going to claim that I only owe part of the chayv until eventually I get money, and then I'll pay him. So that's what he's thinking. So he doesn't have the ha'oza to deny the whole thing. And really, we understand psychologically that the reason why he's being moedim miktas is because he's trying to stall for time. So therefore, the Torah imposes a shivu on him. That way, at least he will admit the whole thing. And that way, so now, afterwards, they can work something out. Afterwards, he can tell him, look, you know, I truly do owe the whole thing, and I'm not going to swear, or I'm afraid to swear falsely, and the fact is, I will admit I owe the whole thing, and usually that's how it'll be. And then he'll say, look, but the fact is, I don't have all the money right now. So can you give me some time to come up with the rest of the money? So that's the idea. Rabbi says that's the idea behind the concept of moedim miktas. So now you have the machloikas. So now you have the point. In other words, that appear by Yosef when he said before Eruv Parshias Kosev Kan, that when he says this ki huzeh, which teaches us the concept of moedim miktas, when he took it out of the part of shomer and put it in the part of milva, he's saying the difference is v'gavim milva hu de'ikal me mahochi, because only by a milva can you say that, because the guy did him a favor and therefore he wouldn't be meiz to deny the whole thing. But by Pekodin, the other guy didn't do any favor to him. So therefore, he would have no problem being Meyers. So even Kofar Hakol, we would say the Torah does require him to swear. Now again, according to the Pnei Yeshua, what Rashi means by that is not in every case of Kofar Hakol by Pekodin is going to have to swear. It's going to depend what type of Kofar Hakol it is, whether he's saying you never deposited it to me in the first place or I returned it to you, versus where he says you did deposit it by me, but it was Nanas and therefore I'm potter from the whole thing. When Rashi says that we should be Mechayev Shavua, according to the Pnei by Yosef, may only refer to the first kind and not the second. And again, according to the various explanations, according to the two explanations in Tosfos, we would understand differently that it's not a matter of because of, by a milva he did him a favor versus a pekod and he didn't. It's rather a difference of whether the other guy is going to know clearly that he's lying, as would be the case with a milva versus by pekodin, where again, if he's claiming by pekodin, he's able to claim nansa or nignava or whatever, where the other guy has no way of knowing whether it's true or not. So therefore, he might be more willing to be meyer, as opposed to again by a milva, such a claim is not going to hold water anyway because okay, it was nansa. I'm sorry to hear that. You still owe me my money. So the only kind of taina that he could claim is lahadam, and again he's not going to be made is that because he knows the other guy knows that he's lying to his face. That it never happened. You know that I returned it to you. Yeah. Whatever, yes. So different ways of understanding what Rabba's point, but the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is understanding the pasuk in that vein when he says ki huzeh refers when he's saying that you need so again Rabbi Chiya bar Abba so Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef again so Rabbi Chiya, one second so Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef had said that there that only so Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef according to Rashi had said only by a milva do you say that you need modem mix that's by pekodin not and according to Tosfos he agrees by both of them you need modem mix that's but you have distinctions of what kind of kofar hackle would work in one case versus another. According to Rabbi Abba, by Pekodin as well, you also need Hoidab Mikzas because he would say this distinction, he would say that you don't have this distinction between a Milva and a Pekodin. Either way, we're saying he's not going to be Meyers to deny the whole thing, and therefore when he's doing that, then there would be no Shavua unless he's Moedim Mikzas. Okay. Worth mentioning in this connection on a deeper level that Abba talks about in Chelek Aleph of Akkadus Sichas, the deeper meaning of this claim, ki hu zeh, we know Hashem is called zeh, like zeh keli vanveyu, and other psukim that refer to kinei elokeinu zeh kivino lo v'yishyenu, whereas hu, and zeh means mare betzvoi, v'oimer, that you look, you point to it, and you know he's there. Hu, on the other hand, is third person, he's somewhere out there. So what the Yetzer Hara does is, when we're talking Toin Tainas Ganav over here, we're talking about the Yetzer Hara comes in and gets involved, he tries to make you think that the Zeh is only who. He tries to make you think that, of course, is who. He's somewhere out there, but he's not directly involved. Fine, you have to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai, fine, because sometimes we talk about Hashem in third person, but the fact is we have an awareness that Hashem is there all the time. So now we're saying that a person turns Zeh into Hu, so therefore we make him take a Shavua, as in Mashbiya Moisev, strengthening his connection with Hashem in order to realize that the Zeh is Zeh and the Hu is Hu, and not to confuse the Jew. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara, Tony Romi Bachama. By all four shomrim, you need to be, in order for them to be chayev, to swear, you need them to be kofar mitzvahs and hadav mitzvahs, meaning, in other words, that Rami Bachama is saying basically the same thing as Rav Chiya bar Abba, that you, in order for them to be chayev shvur, you need to have, so you need to have that they're moed mitzvahs, which means, in other words, so Rashi says specifically, so Rami bar Chama is disagreeing with Rav Chiya bar Yosef. Because Rav Chiya bar Yosef had said, again, according to Rashi's understanding of Rav Chiya bar Yosef, that concept applies only to a milva and not to a pekodin. By pekodin, Rav Chiya bar Yosef had learned, according to Rashi, that it doesn't matter. Either way, he's chayev. Rami bar Chama is disagreeing with that. Now Rami bar Chama is going to bring a brisa in this connection. So now you have the question, then how could Rav Chiya bar Yosef, who was an Amora, disagree with that? So there's a Tosfos elsewhere that explains that even Rami bar Chama is saying, again, like they're similar to what they were saying on Amor Aleph, when we say Kofa Mitzas and Modu Mitzas, means that he's saying part of it was Nenas and part of it was not. So therefore, so Rav Chiya bar Yosef is saying that on the other hand, you have other Mishnayos that implies that no, he can be chayev even without that, even when he's claiming that the whole thing was nanas or whatever. So therefore, so Rav Chiya bar Yosef would say that I'm holding like those Mishnayos, not like Rami bar Chama's Braisa. The Pnei Yeshua points out a different point as well, which is that look, you have sometimes we have the Gemara will say that a certain Braisa was not taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, and therefore it's not so reliable. So Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is entitled to say that this Braisa that Rami bar Chama is going to quote Rami bar Chama, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef would hold it's not such a reliable Braisa. So again, that's according to the Pnei Yeshua, and according to Tosfos elsewhere, the voters of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef would say there are Mishnayos that contradict it, and therefore we can go according to those Mishnayos. So Rami Bachama is saying it applies to all the four Shomim. The Elohim, and they are as follows. Shem Chinam Vashom is the Sachar Vasocha. So it applies to all four Shomim. Shem Aveda, we had a machlokas whether it was Shem Chinam or Shem Sachar, but one way or the other, he's one of those kinds of Shomim. And Omar Rava, my time in the Rami Bachama. So Rava says, why indeed does Rami Bachama say that that applies to all four Shomim? So it's like this. Shem Chinam behed yaksib be kihuzeh. By the Shem Chinam, it says explicitly the words kihuzeh, which is where we learned the concept of modem mixas. That again, the Teveya is saying kihuzeh, this is the amount that you owe me. And the Nitzba is answering back, no, I don't owe you that whole amount, but less than that. No, so it could be a and the context where it says that Shem Chinam. Again, Rabbi Chiya by Yosef had said, Eruv Pashi is Kosev Khan, and that according to Rashi, he means that it doesn't belong. But according to Rabbi Mahoma and his Braisa, no, it belongs exactly where it is. And it says, kihuzeh. Shema Socher, how do we know the same thing would apply to a Shema Socher? Yalf Nisinin, Asinim, Shema Chinam. Because it uses the same expression, ki yitin, by both of them. It's a ki yitin isho re'ehu kesef akelem nishmer, and ki yitin isho re'ehu chamorah shoreseh. So you have the same dinim that apply to one would apply to the other.
This one is it switching around to them, it says Nisei Socher or Shem or
something. And just two different words for the same thing. Okay. Yeah. Shoyal, where do we see the same thing applies to a Shoyal? Well, that we have, because the parasha of Shoyal begins Vichi Yishal, and therefore Vav Moisef al Inyan Rishon, therefore that teaches us the Vav adds to what was before, so whatever applied before to the Shem Echinim and the Shem Esachar also applies to the Shoyal. As far as Socher, then, well, it depends. We have a Machloikas Tanoyim about the responsibility of a shomer, even under Amak Shema Sachar. If, like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that he's like a Shema Sachar, well then Hainu Shema Sachar, well then he's included in the concept of a Shema Sachar. Even under Amak Shema Chinam, and if you say he's like a Shema Chinam, Hainu Shema Chinam, then he has the same din of a Shema Chinam. Therefore, Rami Bachoma's Braisa can say that the same din of Ki Hu Zeh, which means Moedim Mimiktas, applies to all four of them. Again, not like Rabbi Chiya by Yosef, who said that it applies to a milveh. So again, one way of understanding how Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef could disagree with that is because there are mishnayos that contradict this braisa. And another way of looking at it is because he would say this braisa itself is not necessarily correct because it wasn't taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia. Rami Bachama was the first one who brought it to the Beis Medrash, and therefore it's maybe not so reliable.
Okay. There was two
issues
that passed and all
passed. No. We're talking about the yeshiva of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia was where they composed braises that are known to be very reliable. Right. Although collections of braises are not necessarily as reliable. Next, the Omer Rav Chiya bar Yosef. Here's another din that Rav Chiya bar Yosef says. Since we mentioned the din of his about Eruv Parshias Kosev Khan, so now the Gemara mentions another din from him, also about Torin Tainus Ganim. Hatoyan Tainus Ganav Bikodin. Again, Reuven was mafkid something by Shimon. Later on, Shimon claims it was stolen from him and he swears about it. Ene Chayev, he would be Chayev Kefal only Ad She Yishlach Boyad, unless he misused it. So Adam come and say that before he swore falsely, he actually used the Bikodin himself. My timer, why is that? Because the Pasuk says, V'nikra balabayis el elikim. The Pasuk says about the Shomer that he should come close to elikim, meaning to the Dayanim. Im lo shalach yodim b'mlechas re'ehu, if he did not put his hand forth against the object of his friend. So Rav Chiya bar Abba is understanding the Pasuk to mean that so the simple meaning of the Pasuk is he's swearing that he wasn't Shaleach Yad. Because if he was Shaleach Yad, then he's not a Shem Echinam anymore, then he's Chayiv and Oinsim. But we're also understanding, Rav Chiya bar Abba is understanding, Miklaldi, Sholach Bayad, Michayev, we understand from that if he was Shaleach Yad, then he is already Chayev in, so when he was Shaleach Yad, only then is he Chayev in Peif. Lememra, Lememra, and that comes to teach us, the Bisholach, it's not Lememra, sometimes Lememra is a question, Lememra, but here it's a statement, Lememra, whatever. Lememra, the Bisholach Bayad Askinan, therefore the Pasuk is implying that we're talking about with Sholach Bayad. So in other words, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Chiya bar Yosef explains the flow of the psukim as follows. Person is mafkid something by somebody else. He said it was stolen. If he learns the psukim like this, if the ganav is not found, then the shomer comes to the beis din, and then if he did not put forth his hand, if he did not misuse melechas re'ehu, then the pasuk continues that then he swears. But on the other hand, he's understanding if Sholach Yodim Melech Esrehu, that is when Yichshalom, as the next pasuk continues, Shalom Shnayim Lereihu, that he's paying kafir. So that's how Rav Chiya bar Yosef learns. Omlahu Rav Chiya bar Abba, but Rav Chiya bar Abba tells the Bnei HaYeshiva, no, Hochi Amar Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan actually said, when Torn Tainus Ganav, he's Chayev, even if he never used it. Afilu, but he says, Hochi Amar Rav Yechanan, but Imedes Al Evusa Shanu, that we're talking about when it's standing by its trough and eating, and he was never Shaleach Yad, he's still Chayev Kate. So don't tell me Rav Chiya bar Yosef based on your learning of the pasuk that it means that it means only when he's shaleach yad he's chayev kefil. No, he's chayev kefil even if he never did that. Well, omalei Rav Zera Rav Chiya bar Abba. So Rav Zera asked Rav Chiya bar Abba, clarify what you're saying in Rav Yechanan's name. Davka by medes alei vusa ka'amar. Do you mean that davka when it's standing by its trough, meaning that he never used the animal for anything else, then you're saying that he's chayev kefil if he swore falsely that it was stolen and it turns out that he kept it? But you're going to say maybe that if he was shaleach yad, then actually he would be considered like a gazlan. Then you would say he was koina or shvur lemahanya beklum. And in that case, the shvur makes no difference because at this point he's not a shomer anymore. At this point, he's considered a gazlan. So the shvur is not going to be machayiv him anything else because the whole concept of kefil applies only to a shomer. So then we would say now that he became a gazlan, he's not going to be chayiv in kefil because a gazlan doesn't pay kefil. Or the Ravid explains that it means that no, now he'd be chayiv ba'unsin, and therefore when he says that it was stolen, then that's not going to pater him anyway. So is that what Rabbi Yochanan meant? So did he mean that? Or maybe Rabbi Yochanan means even if it's standing alevusa, then he's chayev kefil. So Rabbi Yochanan would say either way, whether he was shaleach bayad or whether he was not, either way he'd be chayev kefil. So Rashi explains. In other words, would Rabbi Yochanan be willing to understand the pasuk like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef that it is referring to that if he was shaleach yad, he's chayev kefil, but in addition, also if he wasn't shaleach yad, he'd be chayev kefil, or does he mean that only if he was not shaleach yad, would he necessarily be disagreeing with Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef and not learning the pasuk like him at all, and say that if he was not shaleach, that if he was shaleach yad, then a whole different din applies. Now he becomes a gazlan, and now the whole concept of kefil doesn't apply in the first place. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Omalei, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba answers him, Zuloi Shamaiti. I didn't hear an exact answer from Rabbi Yochanan on this. But I heard what he says about a very similar case, and we can extrapolate from that to your question. Suppose in the case of Bikodin, he's not tining Tainus Ganav that it was stolen. Instead, he tines Tainus Ovad that it was lost. The Nishba, and he swears, because of a ton Tainus Ganav, and then he goes and swears a Tainus Ganav on the same Pekodin, the Nishba, and he swears about that also, Ubo Edim, and then Edim come, that it's after all in his possession, Potter, then he would be Potter. Now, he'd be Potter from Kefil. Now, my timer. Now, why would he be Potter from Kefil? What do you mean? There was Ton Tainus Ganav, and Ton Tainus Ganav, and swearing falsely is the case where the Pasuk says he's Chayiv and Kefil.
What? How do we know if it's
eventually Adam come and say that it's in his possession? Okay. Evidently, it must be because he was koina that pekodin, and now he's chayev and oinsin, and now there's no kefil from the first time. So therefore, now later on, for after the first shavua. So therefore, and this is Rashi points out. We had Rav Sheshis saying a few blocks ago that if a person is kofer in a pekodin, then he becomes a gazlan on it. At that point, he becomes chayev in all the oinsin on it. So we had Rav Sheshis saying even when he didn't swear, we had other amiroyim dealing with the saying that maybe only if he swears, but once he swears, we said for sure he's considered a gazlan on it. So now it's in his rishus. Then it comes out that he can't be chayev a kefil on it anymore because he's being kofer on something that belongs to him himself. And Rashi adds shaleach bayad as well. Once he's shaleach yad, it's in his rishus. Therefore, he can't be chayev kefil for it either. So therefore, that would show, says Rav Chiya bar Abba, that The answer would be that if it was Shaleach Yad, the same thing would apply as when he denied that he had it anymore, and when he claimed Tainas Avad and swore on it, the same dinim would apply. He's not Chayav Kefal anymore. Therefore, that would be the answer to your question. When he was Shaleach Yad, no more Kefal. So the opposite of what Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is saying, that Davka when Shaleach Yad is when he's Chayav Kefal, no, it comes out from this that Rabbi Yochanan would say the opposite. Amalei, but Rav Zera says that's not a valid proof. Loi, you could say there's a different reason, because he was already yotze his obligation to the owner with his first shvur. When he claimed that it was Ovad and he swore on that, at that point he's potter from paying. Because if it's true that it was Ovad, he would be potter. So that would be why he's part that. So that would be, it's not because it's in his reshus. Once he was already yotze, with the shvur rishona, then that's it. He's now, when he does another shvur, Rashi explains it's not a shvur sadayonim. In order for him to be chayav kefal, it has to be a shvur that was imposed by the dayonim. Now, once he already swore the first time, then he's not going to be and then he's not going to be swearing in front of Beis Din again. Now, Hagoris Abach puts in a long piece over here, that it sticks in a long piece of Rashi over here that I guess he found in a manuscript or something that you're going to ask. We learned a couple of blocks ago, we learned actually on Friday, we learned on Daf Kovav, that you can have a case where he was mashbia on him many times, b'fnei Beis Din, shaloi b'fnei Beis Din, then he's chayev, a choymesh and an osham for each one. So where was it over here? We're saying potter. So you can say, Agos Habach goes on to say, in Rashi, the difference is when we say over here that he's chayev, we mean in that korban for shvur, in the oshem for shvur each time, because there the pasuk doesn't make a distinction whether it was in Beis Din or not. But here we're talking about kefal, and kefal applies only when it was done by the dayanim. So here, when he swore the first time in Beis Din, so now, and he's already potter the first time, even if Beis Din did make him swear a second time, they were wrong in doing that, because once he swore the first time and he's potter, they have no business being mashbia him a second time. So therefore, there can't be a kefal for the second time. And Tosfos adds a similar point, that even if later on he was murdered, that he swore falsely, you wouldn't make him swear again that it was stolen. Then in that case, we would, at that point, Tosfos says he has a migri. He could have said, I swore truthfully, and he would be potter because Adam hadn't come yet. So now we're saying, though, that even though Beis Din does beswear him a second time, he goes, let's say, to a different Beis Din, and they didn't know that he already swore before, and they were mashbia him, the fact is, minad din, he shouldn't have to be nishba, and therefore he shouldn't be chayav kefal. So therefore, Reb Zera says that can be a reason why he's potter for kefal the second time around when he claims tainus ganav. Not because he was kona the first time, like you're trying to understand in Reb Yechon.
Because would they believe him if he says that he already swore once?
If he already swore once, then he's not. Why is he coming to Beis Din again in the first place? We're talking about he's coming. Yeah, we're talking about coming to another Beis Din. Yeah. So and the Gemara says it's manami. In fact, it was said also to prove what to bear out Reb Zera's point. Amar of Oven, Amar of Ila, Amar of Yechanan. So this is clearly in the name of Reb Yechanan. Hatoyin Tainas Aveda Bekodin Menishma. He claims Aveda by Bekodin. He swears that it was lost because of a Tantinus Gneva, then he claims that it was stolen. The Nishman, he swore about that. Uvo Adim, and Adim came that after all it was in his Rashus. Potter, then he's Potter from Kevel, Hoyova Yotza Bailim, Beshvor, Yudei Bailim, Beshvor, Rishona, because it was Yotze his obligation to the owner of the first Shvor. So, in other words, we see that Rabbi Yechanan's reason is not like Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba was saying, because he was Koneh, but rather because he was already Potter after the first time, and therefore there was no business swearing him again, and it can't be called a Shavur Sadayonim to be Mechayiv him in Kate.
Is this the Chayiv for the principle?
So he'd be Chayiv the parent, yeah. He'd be Chayiv the parent. Well, like this, the animal itself still exists, so he's returning the animal itself, yeah. Within that, you have a Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly has the Gemara concluded regarding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Are we saying that Rabbi Yochanan is eventually, it comes out then, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba had wanted to say that Rabbi Yochanan is going to be Mechayev Kefal only in the case of Loy Sholach Bayad, but he would say if Sholach Bayad, then he would say that not, because he was Koine. And Reb Zera now is contradicting him and was saying that no, that's not what Reb Yochanan means. Well, in the end, does that mean that we hold that Reb Yochanan says that the din would apply in both cases, whether it was Shaleach Yad or not? He's going to be Chayav Kefil in both cases. The Rashba and the Rosh learn that way. On the other hand, the Magen Mishnah says maybe not necessarily. The fact is, we do have, by Shaleach Yad, you do have another consideration. There you don't just have the matter that he was Yotze, there you have the matter that he was Koneh as far as Onsin, as in fact the Gemara is going to bring in the next little piece of it here from Rav Sheshes, and therefore, so the Magen Mishnah says maybe Rav Yechanan would agree with that. So, Omer Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes says in this connection, HaToyen Tainus Ganab Bekodin, he claimed Tainus Ganab Bekodin, Kibin Shesholach Boyad, once he was Shaleach Yad, once he misused the Bekodin, before he swore Potter, then he's Potter from the Kefil. Similar to what, so similar to one possible way of learning Rabbi Yochanan before. My timer, because, and he says, why? Because Hochi Kama Rachmana, he learns the posik goes as follows. Now, Rabbi Bar Yosef and understood the posik to be saying, Im loy shalach yodim im leches re'ehu, then conceivably he could be chayev kefil. And on the other hand, now you have to realize also the word im can have two meanings. It can mean if, or it can mean that. So when we said "b'nikra balabayis alakim im lo shalach yodim b'melachas re'ehu," Reb Chiya bar Yosef in effect would be learning that the pasuk is saying that he swears that he swears if lo shalach yodim b'melachas re'ehu, then he's swearing, and if it comes out that he was lying, then yishalom shnayim l're'ehu. Whereas Reb Sheshes is going to understand that it means that that he swears that he wasn't shaleach yad. So he's going to say, so my hoch kamer achmana, v'nikra balabayis elakim, im lo sholach yodav v'gomer, he's going to come and swear, so both of them are going to be understanding as if, but they're going to understand the result of that if is different. So v'nikra balabayis elakim, he comes to the basin to swear, im lo sholach yodav v'gomer, if he was not shaleach yad, only then do we have Yishalom Shnayim L'Rehu, HaSholach Yodai, but if he was Shaleach Yad, Potter, and then he claims, Tainus Ganav, then he would be Potter from the Kefil. So the exact opposite of Reb Chiya bar Yosef. So we said that it's one possibility of how Reb Yochanan would hold. Reb Chiya bar Abba had understood Reb Yochanan to be saying this way, and Reb Zera had contradicted him, but it's exactly the opposite of how Reb Chiya bar Yosef had said. Reb Chiya bar Yosef had said, Davka, when he's Shaleach Yad, then he's Chayiv in the Kefil. Reb Sheshes is saying the opposite. When it's Shaleach Yad, then he's Potter from the Kefil. So, Omalei Rabbi Nachman, V'aloi Sholosh Shvuos Mashvi and Oisei. Why would we say that he's Potter from Kefil? In that case, the fact is that, and by the way, before we get to that, actually, Tosfos points out that Reb Sheshes himself had previously, Rav Sheshes himself had previously said a din that you had we had on Kufheyom and Beis, that if a person is kofor and a pekodin, then he becomes a gazlan in it even before he swore. So therefore, so whenever he's toyin tainas ganav, then already he's a gazlan. So therefore, he's like shaleach yad, and so in that case, we should consider him like shaleach yad and toyin tainas ganav and potter from kapel. So what would be the case where he's chayiv and kapel when he claims tainas gneva? The fact is, if he has it in his possession, it means he was really shaleach yad, and according to what Rav Sheshes over here, what he's saying over here, when he's Shaleach Yad, he's Potter from Kefil. So Tosfos explains, no, there's a Kosev that when we say that he's Potter by Shaleach Yad, would only be when he's actually Shaleach Yad, when he actually uses the Pekodin, not just where he's Kofer. The difference is, in other words, Tosfos says when he's Kofer on the Pekodin, he's not actually used the Pekodin, he's just trying to keep it for himself. So that would be, eventually he'll use it, but right now he hasn't yet, and therefore, yeah. Okay. So Omalei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman asks Rav Chiya, asks Rav Sheshes, how can you say that? We know that when a shomer is going to take a shavua, he actually has to take three different shavuas, not really necessarily three shavuas. It means, in other words, within the one shavua, we include the other things. But you have a machlokas with Shoinim, which one is midaraisa and which ones are only midarabanan. But whatever, the point is that you have three different things he swears. This was actually in Rambam Shloisha Parakim a couple of days ago. Shvua shaloi pashayti ba. Number one, a shvua that I wasn't pashaya in it, because if he was pashaya, then he's going to be chayev. Shvua shaloshalachti ba yad, and a shvua that I didn't use the animal for anything that I shouldn't. And a shvur that's not actually in my possession. So, and then with those three Shavuos, you need all three of those in order for him to be Potter. Because if he was only what do you call it? Tosfos points out, if he's only you need all of them. If he only swears Shaloi Parshaiti, what about? It's still in his Rishus. So then he's swearing truthfully. I wasn't Parshay, and it's still in my Rishus. If he swears Eina Rishus, then it still might be Sholach Bayad, and then he'd be Chayiv for the Shlichus Yad, and then he's Chayiv for Unsin as well. So therefore, so you need all three Shavuos. So Rav Nachman points out. My love, shouldn't we assume, since we're saying that he's taking all these three shavuos, it means, or one shavuot that includes all three of them, whatever. So therefore, shouldn't we assume that it means that the shavuot is similar to the shavuot, meaning ma shavuot. Now, what happens when he says it's Eina B'Rishusi, and later on it comes out that it is in his Rishus, because Edim come and say that he has it rather than the Ganav stole it like he claimed, and that's when he's Chayiv and Kevel. We should say that also when he's claiming that I wasn't Shaleach Yad and I swore on it, and he swears on that, and then it turns out that he was Shaleach Yad, he should be Chayiv. So like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef or like Rabbi Yechanan, but not the opposite, to say that when he's Shaleach Yad, he should be potter from Kevel. Which in fact Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have asked this question on Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef as well. So Amalei, sort of Sheshes answer is Loi. Just the other way around. I agree we have to compare the two Shavuos, but compare it the other way around. Ma shavuos. Now, if he, when he, oh no, he's saying, in other words, rather, instead of comparing the shavuos, you have three shavuos over here. You, Rav Nachman, want to compare the shavuos shel shalachti bayad with the shavuos she'ene b'rishusi, the second and the third one. Instead, Rav Sheshes says, compare the first and the second shavuos, the shavuos shel pashayti ba and the shavuos shel shalachti bayad. Compare those two. Ma shavuah shle pashayti ba. Now the shavuah which I was not pesheya in it, ki migalya milsa de pashaba. If it turns out he was pesheya, potter mikafel, then he's potter from kafel, because now at this point, the fact is he didn't steal it, so he's not chay of the kafel. He's chay of the kerem, like any other shomer, like any shomer who was pesheya. Af shavuah shle shalachti bayad. The same way when he says I wasn't shaleach yad, ki migalya milsa de shalach bayad. When it turns out that he was shaleach yad, Potter me kefil, then he should be potter from kefil by the same logic, because we would say even if he's toin tainas ganav. So therefore, if Sheshes says so, yeah, so actually, you want to compare these shavuos. You can actually make that kind of comparison, and the result is that in both cases he would be potter from he would be potter from kefil. So we have ultimately we have a three way machlokas over here when he's chayev the kefil. When he was Shaleach Bayad, according to the Priva Yosef, when he was not Shaleach Bayad, according to the Sheshes, and according to Rabbi Yechanan, maybe both, and maybe one of them, that you have Machlokas, who's showing him what Rabbi Yechanan holds exactly. Okay, and then, so now we'll continue, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk more tomorrow about more dinim involving Kefal and other such things.